welcome to a new episode of Cine Nation. I am Brandon Sparks, and I'm here with William Mason.
Hey, how's it going?
William and I were from Alabama together, and we're now out here in Los Angeles. And the past few episodes, we've had Ben Gertz, who's up in Portland. All of us have actually kind of worked together in the past, and so we thought it'd be good to kind of bring more people from our background into the podcast. Today, we're going to talk about kind of the movies that are currently being shown. Mason and I watched a few films that came out recently out here in LA, haven't really reached everywhere else yet. So we're going to kind of talk about Oscar predictions right now. It's a little early, but slowly but surely things start to kind of come into play of what's going to be in contention for the Oscars. So recently, Mason and I, we saw, not together of course, but separately, we saw Birdman with Michael Keaton, and that's kind of, I know you have a lot of stuff you want to say about that, so go ahead, what you kind of thought.
No, I mean, I thought Birdman, it really, to me, was one of the best films I've seen, and I felt like maybe this year and last year.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it knocks a lot of films that I'd seen out of the park. I think that opinion is probably not the same that everyone would hold,
yep.
But for me, they did a lot of things right that, you know, I don't see, if at least for me, I don't see a lot of films making all of these right decisions.
Yeah, Birdman, I we talked about earlier, I love the performances in Birdman. And the thing about Birdman is that it's, for those of you who don't know, it's about Michael Keaton's character is, it's very meta. His character was a former superhero in like 1980s films, and he turned it down to go and be a real actor, or in his eyes, a real actor. And now, in order to kind of revive his career, he is writing, directing, and starring in a play on Broadway. And so it's very talking about how nowadays all these huge superheroes or superhero franchises are kind of taking over the box office, and Michael Keaton's character, the one who started off first, is like watching everyone else kind of get the glory and the money. And so the big thing about Birdman is that it seems like it's done, not the entire film, but say it's an hour and 40 minutes or so, probably an hour and 38, seems like it's done all in one shot. There's a portion where it kind of breaks. And that's so hard. Like, how they, Emmanuel Lubezki, who was the DP for it, like, it's so amazing to see something like that for so long. And what makes Birdman so good to me is that they make it work, which is so hard to do.
Most of the charm about the film is the fact that one scene flows into the next. And that just based on, I mean, we both had to read Mamet's book on directing.
On directing, yeah.
And it's just like, he is so done with this idea of us following characters around.
Yeah.
And I think this movie reopens that door to say to Mamet, like, that's ridiculous. Like, this whole film is us following these characters that are totally disjointed, like, they're all erratic and furious, but they're all hopeful. You know, we follow them around and we see them throwing, we see them yelling, but something's keeping them going.
Yeah. And there's time jumps in it, which is so crazy. I mean, they were able to put time jumps in the movie when it's all in one shot.
Yeah.
And so for that, like, go see it, it's an experience. But there's, like, we talked about, there's great performances. In all honesty, it's a lock for Best Picture nomination right now. The big question is it too weird?
Yeah, not so.
For the Academy. The Academy, which is, to some people, have voted in more traditional films like King's Speech or even 12 Years a Slave, like Hurt Locker, more period pieces.
Right.
But you're like, with King's Speech, they're going to get Social Network, which is David Fincher, and a little bit more slicker, not maybe edgier film, and King's Speech is more the traditional film. But Birdman, so I think it's great, and it's, if it gets anything, I think it's going to be in the, if it gets any wins, it'll be in cinematography, I feel.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, yeah, I definitely think it'll be up for that. It's very interesting what you're saying about it being more weird, is it feels more like an art house film.
Yeah.
But like an entry level. Like, it could bring someone in who loves action.
That's what's interesting.
Yeah.
It kind of breaks a few grind, like, because it doesn't always have an art house feel throughout the entire thing. And that's what makes it interesting, but it's very satirical in the way not really just Hollywood, but entertainment industry, it's like how it is. Because it's talking about theater, it's talking about film. But the performance, Michael Keaton, I will go see Michael Keaton in whatever. Like, I'm going to be honest, I love Michael Keaton. I argue that he is the best Batman overall to me. Some people will disagree.
Interesting.
I think he's the best overall Batman.
Right.
I say Christian Bale's the best Bruce Wayne. People don't know sometimes don't understand the difference. There is a difference to me. But Keaton, it's just like he can do such great dramatic roles, and then he's so funny. I would love for Keaton to win an Oscar. I don't know if that's going to happen this year.
If anyone is going to win the Oscar in Birdman, I think Edward Norton is stronger than he's ever been in this movie.
I don't disagree.
I think that his role in this film, like, alone, like, I said this earlier in the week, but, like, I think that he could be one of the great, like, in my mind, he became the greatest living actor through this role.
That's interesting.
But it's, I mean, no hate on, like, the long list of Daniel Day-Lewis, Gary Oldman, freaking Anthony Hopkins, all these people that are, like, classic and, you know, whoever you want to put up at the top. Like, Edward Norton is studied, trained, and this role takes him all over the place and yanks him left and right, and then is so deeply complicated. You have and he's already trained for the theater. So when you kind of watch the film and you see him act, you see him totally insane, but then totally cool guy.
Yeah, and that's what's so good about both Norton and Keaton in this movie is that you see a wide range of comedic to really serious to really crazy, and that's I'm really wanting to see, I really want, I think Norton is the better and just the race of best supporting actors this year.
Yeah.
I feel he's the one that's gonna, if anyone will get that. Emma Stone might get nominated.
She did fantastic.
Yeah.
Everybody in this movie gets their day in the sun.
Yes.
Everybody gets their own set of time to be on screen to show you what they've got.
And that's the big thing with Oscars nowadays is, okay, where's their moment at? They need good moments that push to that, like, to that best actor nod.
Absolutely.
And that best actor win. It's like you can pick a moment, like, okay, that moment right there just won the Oscar, plain and simple. And some actors, like, don't always have that moment in the scene, and so that's what kind of like loses it for them.
The script opens these actors up to have these moments,
and also too with the way the director and then the DP, how they do the all one takes. I'm more of a fan of that because you're getting to actually see them act.
Yeah,
you get to see, like, okay, we're not, the cuts aren't forcing the performance here. It's literally them doing this performance and nothing else.
Right. They talked about it after, like, the curator was asking, you know, Edward and I can't remember the woman who played
Naomi Watts.
Was it Naomi Watts? It was the other woman.
The other, was it the actress in the movie? I can't remember her name.
Yeah, she did great.
Yeah, she did great.
She, first of all, is amazing, and she talks about how that role is nothing like her, but how, like, women kind of get dragged into this role of being a crazy, crazy temperament as far as theater is concerned, and being in love with the director and having all these weird sexual urges, and how she comes away with, like, she is such a different person from that role and so appreciative of the script to play that, and talks about how them doing these long takes, they would spend hours, just an hours, trying to get this one take that's 15 minutes long down.
Yeah.
And she said that, like, those near the end of the day is when you would find parts of you that you never knew you had. And it was, and that's what I think this film brings out in every person.
Was it Andrea Riseborough?
Yeah.
Riseborough. And another guy, too, he's not going to get an Oscar nomination, but just to see it, I think he does well, is Zach Galifianakis.
Yes! He does amazing!
It's just like,
Even him.
He can actually do great roles, and so the cast is one of the best, like, this year, in my opinion, and it's if you want to go see great acting, go see Birdman.
Yeah.
Other people, but yeah, I think Keaton is in the running for best actor. I think Stone is in the running for best supporting actress. Norton is, I think, to me at the moment, the favorite, just from what I've seen so far. Like, if I was voting, which I'm not. No, I'm sorry. There's another guy. I just realized. Norton's my second favorite. Okay. So we'll go into like who. Okay, for best supporting actor, my favorite right now is J.K. Simmons from Whiplash. Back home in Alabama, I did a class at school where we got to go to Sundance. We were learning about film festivals, and Whiplash was there. And Whiplash was by far the best movie at Sundance Film Festival this year. Like, for such a very simple story of like he worked like Miles Teller. It'll make Miles Teller a star, probably, is how I feel. And J.K. Simmons, who's been great and a great character actor, finally gets his, like, moment to shine. So J.K. Simmons is my, like, from Whiplash. Whiplash, if you, like, go see it, has a great third act. It's a great ending. I tell people, like, I was on the edge of my seat at the end. It leaves you out of breath, and it's not an action film. It's not. It's literally a music competition at the end. Almost, it's at the very end of the movie. But yeah, we also. So J.K. Simmons is my favorite for best supporting actor. We also saw, or you saw, St. Vincent with Bill Murray.
Absolutely. So that film, I don't know how people are hearing about this movie. The only reason I heard of it, there are some random posters on the street on. I can't remember, but they've just got them blocked up, and it shows Bill Murray at the center, mm-hmm. Naomi Watts, and then this kid. And when I saw that, it looks mega lighthearted. It looks like, oh, this is going to be a silly comedy, and I think even in the trailer...
It does.
Yeah.
It's a very silly comedy.
Yeah, and the trailer comes across as like, oh, yeah, you take your family too, like, you're going to have some fun.
Bill Murray is going to be fun. He's talented and has great acting roles, right. But...
And so when you go into it and watch it, at the beginning, it's not as lighthearted as you initially see. Bill Murray, Naomi Watts, is this incredible pregnant prostitute who just does an awesome job of being, like, I didn't know that was Naomi Watts until we walked out of the theater. I was like, who was that woman?
And she's also in Birdman.
And she's also in Birdman.
And so she's had a very good year.
Absolutely. She plays, she does a great job. But I think this movie... What's really interesting to read about is how they got Bill Murray to be in it.
Because
now we know how crazy Bill Murray is. The director and writer, you know, talks about how he is just like contacting Bill Murray's like manager, but he can't really get a hold of him. He gets a hold of Bill Murray's lawyer. And Bill Murray's lawyer's like, here, write this post office box in New York. And it's like a year process just to get Bill, just to like
get in touch with him.
And one day he just gets a call out of the blue and he's like, hey, can you pick me up from the airport? He's like, no, like, I'm nowhere near, like, you're in, like, New York. Like, I can't do that. It's an awesome story. But I think we finally now realize how great Bill Murray is. And mm-hmm. like, everyone has a really good appreciation for him. So the camera never leaves him alone. Mm-hmm. And, like, the whole ending credits are just Bill Murray. And it's everything you've ever wanted. And it's just him being a weirdo.
Well, so I saw a clip from St. Vincent. It's like... Bill, it's one shot, and it's Bill Murray like singing a Bob Dylan song.
Yeah,
like that's outside. The last shot. I was just like,
yeah,
this is. I can't take my eyes off.
Right.
This.
The only so it's a great movie. I think it's definitely worth seeing. Really cool story, and then you got to get your Bill Murray in. So, but the downfalls of it are the tone shifts. It doesn't necessarily feel like they had the best. Idea on like coming down on one thing. Mm-hmm. So as you're watching it, it's not necessarily feel good. And then all of a sudden we have a large conflict that happens and it ends with more of the family friendly values, but it doesn't start that way. And so it is a little bit confusing. I wouldn't say it's going to be a contender for the Oscars. I could see maybe Bill Murray just, you know, because everybody wants him to win one.
Yeah.
Getting nominated, but it's not a very strong script. So
yeah, that's the buzz I've been hearing is that if anything gets it, it's gonna be Bill Murray.
Right.
Because I mean it's Bill Murray.
The kid was great, but
yeah.
The kid's not Beast of the Southern Wild's girl.
Who's gonna be an Annie
really?
This year. Yeah, she's gonna be an Annie. Jamie Foxx, it's modern day Annie. Jamie Foxx is Daddy Warbucks.
I know. How are we supposed to believe these
Cameron
things?
Diaz is the Mrs. Hannigan, wow. The orphanage lady. It'll be interesting. Will Smith producing it. I think Jay-Z helped do the music. Emma Thompson helped write it.
Really?
It's one of the most interesting group of people I have seen on a movie together. The trailers look pretty good. And
that's what, yeah.
Yeah. Also, we saw, or not recently, about I think a month ago,
yeah,
we saw Boyhood. And you were... Actually, you prefer Birdman more now that we're talking about it. But yeah, when you saw Boyhood, you loved Boyhood. And Boyhood is just... Boyhood is just a journey.
Yeah.
It's a plain simple... It's a journey through this kid's life. And Richard Linklater, who's the director, like, it's ambitious to say, I'm going to shoot stuff every year for 13 years... out of the month, but or like a few weeks out of the year,
right?
Like, it's just a complete journey. And Boyhood, there's parts of Boyhood I don't like, and I'm the first, and people think I'm crazy when I say that. There's a few parts I don't like, but overall the film is just like, you have to, like, I walked out of Boyhood and I was just like, what am I doing with my life right now? Like, this dude just made a movie over 13 years.
Absolutely.
And I'm sitting here, like, going to film school. And, like, this dude just went out. And even though Linklater can do whatever he wants to, I feel, in an independent world. But it's just like, this guy did this for more than 13 years for editing. Like, I remember hearing this about this when I was, like, sophomore, junior in high school, about this movie being talked about. And so, like, taught me, you know, you have thoughts on it. Like.
No, that's interesting. You think I was speaking with my buddy Ben Friday, and we had just come out of Birdman, and I was like, man, I saw Boyhood, and that was great, and I love Birdman now. Mm-hmm. And he looks at me, and he's like, I didn't like Boyhood.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, for filming a movie for 13 years, you think they could have come up with a better screenplay? And, like, I was just baffled. Like, I hate to attach, you know, any sort of nay towards him, but, like, it was interesting. I had never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoyed the way that Linklater took an insanely long time to just show you life without trying to give you outside to push anything heavy.
That's the thing. There wasn't the thing is like the, oh, there's not really a good screenplay. That I think in reality there wasn't supposed to be a screenplay,
right?
Because it's one of the people say it's one of the most realistic movies that's been done in the past decade, and it's kind of true because it's. It's interesting seeing every year go by, and sometimes there's big changes in these characters' life, and sometimes there are subtle changes in the character life. The big one to me, like, I think Boyhood will get nominated for Best Picture, hands down.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's going to win. It depends on how much buzz it continues to have over time. I think Patricia Arquette is really great. I think The Boy is great. I don't think The Boy will get nominated for Best Actor.
No.
Because there's just too much right now going on in the Best Actor race. I think Ethan Hawke will get a supporting actor nod, I feel. And, like, I love Ethan Hawke in this movie. Like, as the father.
Absolutely.
I think he's one... I mean, they all have great changes, but he's the one that really completely... changes from the deadbeat dad who's like a musician or whatever to like he has a big change toward the end.
Yeah, I think one of the like best things about this movie is like just watching Ethan Hawke become a different dude and seeing these characters, some of them stay the exact, like Patricia Arquette more or less stays the same.
I wouldn't say stays the same with Patricia Arquette. I think she has a great chance of winning this year as well. It's with her is that you're getting to see this woman who goes through multiple marriages and is a single mother and what she has to do in order to take care of her kids.
Yeah.
And so it's a very, I think, realistic portrayal of a single mom trying to make ends meet, trying to raise her two kids, trying to send them to college, and then dealing with them leaving.
Yeah.
Which I think... Patricia Arquette, there's not as big of a change as Ethan Hawke. It's a very, it's a subtle. I think there's more subtle changes in Patricia Arquette.
Yeah.
But I think she's a favorite. The supporting actress and the leading actress really aren't as clear cut to me as like the best actor and the best support. Well, like there's not really a front runner in the leading actress and supporting actress category. Like to me, the front runner and supporting actor is J.K. Simmons and Edward Norton. I think in Best Actor, from what I'm hearing from like the film festivals and just researching online, Benedict Cumberbatch is the big favorite for the Imitation Game. Because I think at Telluride, like, I think Birdman and Imitation Game were both shown, and Imitation Game was, like, the one that was the big favorite out of Telluride. So it'll be interesting to see. I think I also saw, we're going to the movies we've seen recently, I saw Gone Girl a few weeks ago. And Gone Girl, it's David Fincher directed it. Again, I look at acting a lot, so I love the performances in it. I love that he has David Fincher casted Ben Affleck, Neil Patrick Harris, and Tyler Perry in a movie together. Like, he literally had to go to a casting director and say, okay, here's who I want. I want Ben Affleck, Neil Patrick Harris, and Tyler Perry. Someone had to go, what? And because people kind of have this misconception of Tyler Perry, like, oh, he just does the Madea movies. I'm not going to lie. Tyler Perry, one of my favorite parts of Gone Girl. He steals every scene he is in. Wow. And I'm just like, he needs to be in more movies where he's not directing. That's the big thing, is that when he's directing, I'm not saying he's a bad director, because people can have their taste, but I've seen some of his movies, and it's just, we're not getting to see the full Tyler Perry as an actor to me. You put him in front with the hands of David Fincher, and he shines. He steals every scene. Ben Affleck, to me, he's not going to get nominated for Oscar this year at all, but it gives me confidence, like, okay, he can play Batman. Like, because people are like, oh, Ben Affleck can't act. He does a great job in Gone Girl of how it is. And then Rosamund Pike, who she'll get a nomination, I feel, in Best Actress. Don't know if she'll win, but I think she'll get a nomination. Gone Girl's just a great thriller. Some people have disliked it and liked it. It really depends on your taste.
I want to know why the heck David Fincher keeps doing adaptations. I would like for him to, like, step away from that. I don't think it's very helpful. I think, like, it's only gonna limit him. Like, ultimately, like, I'm trying to think of films that he's done that aren't adaptations.
That are or aren't.
Like, aren't. So, aren't. Like, is Seven. It just Seven?
Seven. It's yeah, it's Seven. Yeah, Seven might be one of the only ones, because Fight Club was a book.
Right. Panic Room? Did he do that?
He did Panic Room. Zodiac, I think, was based off a book by, I think, Robert Graysmith, about the Zodiac killing. Social Network book. Okay. Curious Case of Benjamin Button was F. Scott Fitzgerald. That's short story.
But it really wasn't. I mean, if you read that, it wasn't anywhere near that. That's probably not the smartest thing to say on the subject, but it does feel like House of Cards. So, okay. Like, him getting involved with that, which is an adaptation, I guess.
Was that a book?
It's a British series.
Okay.
But I think that David Fincher is doing a great job. I still need to see Gone Girl. Yeah. I love Social Network. I think Social Network should have beat King's Speech. and I think he's a fantastic filmmaker, but Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, like, tainted a lot for me.
Really? You didn't like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
No.
I like the original more.
Yeah.
I like the Swedish version more.
Like, yeah. I mean, well, Swedish movies are terrifying. Like, they just add a whole other layer of terrifying. Also, I would like to talk about, I was trying to think, like, the music of the films that we've seen.
Oh, okay.
Because I think that so far, like, this has been a really interesting year, at least for the films that I've seen, for music. Mm-hmm. Birdman and this, like, really cool jazz drum beat that just shows up.
It's constantly, it's going throughout the entire thing, mostly. But it keeps the pace going.
Yeah.
And it really, it goes the entire film. It keeps up with the shot. And makes that long shot, like, seem like it's so quick.
Right, yeah, exactly. And, like, just from the beginning, the credits match up to the drum beats.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, this, like, totally, like, Goddard, like, set up credits that I love. Like, aligned, you know, justified, set, like, totally crazy and spread out. And so the drums just build from there. And as the tension gets crazy, the drums get faster and more disjointed. And then you get that one scene where, like, the drummer's there, which I love. Like, he passes and the drummer's there. And you're like, what? That, so much of that movie has, I love it, when they show you the things that are inside people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I thought that movie did a fantastic job with music. And I hope it gets some sort of award for that.
Okay. I think, yeah, there's been great. I mean, Whiplash, another one we're talking about, jazz drums. I mean, it's about a drummer who's in a is in a jazz band essentially. Great music, like it's and it go the Miles Teller, who's actually I think a drummer, but he doesn't do all the drumming in the movie. It's insane to watch the drumming that goes on in this movie. But the music, like I'm trying to think of other movies that had good music. I mean, Boyhood had a good soundtrack.
Well, boy, it's crazy because so that's another thing is David Fincher had to kind of. In some scenes, there was, like, the music was already in the scene.
I mean, Linklater.
Yeah. And so, yeah, what did I say?
He said Fincher. Continue.
Yeah, I don't know what I said. no, but so, yeah, so Linklater does a great job with incorporating the milestones of the time periods.
Yeah.
And the music will just come and go like the radio. Like, it's in the background, but it's so important to the scene. And it's as such a scrapbook for what has happened over the past, you know, 13 years of him making it.
Yeah. What other music stuff sticks out to you?
I mean, that's the having Bill Murray sing
Bob Dylan's song.
Singing Bob Dylan, like, awesome. Just like the music in that was just like basically like old man, old like dad rock and stuff like that.
old dad rock.
Yeah.
But yeah, what I'm looking at, like, cause, well, I guess we'll start talking about like Best Picture nominations. IndieWire. They are probably one of the biggest one of the bigger Oscar predictions. But they do Oscar predictions the week after almost the Oscars have happened the year before. They're constantly studying this, and so they divide it up like this is what's we'll post a link in the show notes to their thing. But at the top, like this is ones that are pretty safe, and these are ones we haven't seen yet but could do well. So. Their top four are Boyhood, Birdman, Imitation Game, and Gone Girl. Those are top four right now. I agree with them completely, even though I haven't seen Imitation Game.
And Interstellar is not on that.
We need to talk about Interstellar too. Since I actually brought that up because it has one of the best casts I've seen in the past few years. I mean, it's during the reconnaissance.
Mm.
And
we're still in it.
We're still in the reconnaissance. And Christopher Nolan's directing. And you have two... You have Jessica Chastain and Anne Hathaway, and these are two. Jessica Chastain might be, to me, in the top five best actresses right now.
She's my top number one.
Number one, okay. Yeah. I would say that she's up there. I mean, because you're going to a contest with Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep's probably going to win. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Sure. What's Meryl Streep doing though? Is she going to be in It's Complicated? No, I don't watch it.
It's Complicated. No, she's in Into the Woods this year.
Okay.
Into the Woods. It's a Disney movie. It's a Stephen Sondheim musical from Broadway. I did drama when I was in high school, so I had to watch it, and I love the musical, and it's an interesting cast. Have you seen the trailer for it?
Mm-mm.
Well, for the first trailer, it's one of the biggest musicals of the past like 30 years, and like there's no one singing in the musical or in the trailer. No one's singing at all
in the musical.
In the trailer.
It's amazing,
and it's a musical. But you have Johnny Depp as the wolf. I like Johnny Depp. Some people don't like some of this other stuff that he's done recently. It'll be interesting to see him. Meryl Streep plays the witch, and then you have like Emily Blunt in it. Anna Kendrick.
He's just fantastic. Fantastic people.
Anna Kendrick. The weird one to me, it's a musical, is Chris Pine.
Who's Chris Pine?
Chris
Pine. I don't know who that
is. Have you seen Star Trek, the reboot?
Yeah.
James T. Kirk.
Really?
He's...
What is he doing in there?
He's one of the prince. He's Prince Charming.
Oh, he's got a face. That's
fine. I'm just interested to see if he can sing. Yeah. But it's released by Disney. I think it's going to do well because it's released by Disney.
Sure.
Not always the case. Lone Ranger is an exception.
Did anyone see Lone Ranger?
I saw Lone Ranger. I saw most of Lone Ranger.
I'm interested to know. Like,
it's not as bad as the. Here's the thing, Lone Ranger. Some people might hate it. My personal opinion, it's not as bad as what the critics made it out to be. It was a film that the budget was so high. It had so many expectations. It was a Western, which doesn't really do well overseas. And it had Johnny Depp, who right now, I feel his star power in the U.S. isn't as strong as it used to be.
Yeah.
We could do another podcast on that.
We're in the opposite of the reconnaissance for Johnny Depp right now.
And Will Smith, in my opinion. Will Smith's another one that hasn't had... Well, let me rephrase. Men in Black 3 I liked when it came out a few years ago.
Maybe I saw that.
I'm making hand motions at the moment when I'm doing this. But no, Anyway, we're getting really off topic of Oscar. Okay, so back to this.
I was going to talk about how like Will Smith was in like 1,000 movies in this one time period.
No. Okay, so here are my top 10 picks for Best Picture this year. Okay. I'll see what you
ten
think.
10 of them.
I haven't seen all these either. Because they haven't came out yet.
No.
I don't think the Academy is going to pick 10 this year. I think they're going to pick 8 or 9. The Academy is where they pick from 5 to 10. I don't think they're going to pick 5. I think they're always going to stick around 8 to 9, 7 to 9. I don't think they'll ever go to 10. They might. They'll never do 5, in my opinion. I think there's no point in doing 5 to 10. They're just going to keep doing 5.
I feel like that's going to take away from the credibility of being nominated for Best Picture.
What?
Nominating 10.
Yeah, and that's what some people say. But I think it's good for some of the smaller films that don't get noticed. That year. That's
maybe
my opinion.
And maybe it'll challenge more of like common people to like quit watching Transformers and to just watch a movie.
Yeah, because I mean, there's some movies that like possibly wouldn't have got a chance. I mean, it all started because of Dark Knight when Dark Knight came out and how it was didn't receive a nomination in 2008, and it was the top five were like Revolutionary Road, The Reader. Slumdog Millionaire and a few other ones. Milk, I think, was that year, and like Dark Knight wasn't nominated at all.
That's a sparse year,
huh?
That's a sparse
year. Yeah, and so everyone's like, Dark Knight's not nominated. So the next year they did, they up it up to 10. Year for that they did 5 to 10. So anyway, these are my 10 picks for Best Picture right now: Boyhood,
okay.
Birdman, Imitation Game, Gone Girl. Those are the same top four as IndieWire, but then I'm doing Unbroken, which is a movie that Angelina Jolie is directing. Angelina Jolie her and Brad Pitt. Angelina Jolie is becoming a great director, and Brad Pitt's becoming a great producer, in my opinion. And Unbroken, when you watch the trailer, so good. Like, I'm just like, I want to go see this movie right now. And so that's one to watch out for. I say Interstellar right now, just because it's Nolan and it could be a visual effects like masterpiece. Like, it could be 2001 to some degree. We don't know. Great acting. I love the trailers. Next one I'm picking Selma, which is produced by Brad Pitt and Oprah Winfrey. And I can tell you right there, that's enough to get nominated for an Oscar, because Oprah and Brad Pitt are smart. Oprah, who like produced Precious, and then Brad Pitt, who produced 12 Years a Slave. Like, he's coming off a win last year. Like, he knows how to pick them right now. He's picking Ava DuVernay. Did you meet?
I didn't get to meet her.
Okay, Ava DuVernay is a great director, and she actually came. We were last year at a film festival we had at our college, our undergrad. She came and spoke to us before she was going off to do Selma, and we actually had a few friends that worked on the picture in Atlanta, Georgia, and she, very nice, and we watched her watch one of her films, Middle of Nowhere. Very talented, and Selma has a great cast. David pronounce his name sometimes. He's playing Martin Luther King. I think he could be a sleeper for Best Actor right now. I've heard from people that he's really great in it. Ava DuVernay, I think, this will be her break. Our big break in the industry. And then you put Brad Pitt and Oprah Winfrey producing it, and then you have people like Martin Sheen and I think Tom Wilkinson who are in it, so it'll be interesting. I think Tim Roth is in it too. Number 8, I got Foxcatcher, which did well at Cannes Film Festival this year. Steve Carell, when you watch the trailer,
it's terrifying.
It's terrifying. I never thought Steve Carell could go that far with the role.
At first, I thought it was just a joke, like with Channing Tatum, and like I was like waiting for them to make a joke.
Uh-huh.
And then when you watch the trailer, you see this like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, like super wide shot, and people running out in the snow, and Steve Carell's holding a gun, and you're just like, what
is going on?
The heck is going on?
Bennett Miller, who is, I think, is a phenomenal director. He did Capote and Moneyball. And so, like, he has some great actors in the movie. Steve Carell, just the look of him is so, like, you've never seen Steve Carell like this.
Yeah. No.
And there's great buzz around his performance. So I think he's a big favorite for Best Actor right now.
Yeah.
Another one I'm picking, it's starting to gain a little buzz all of a sudden now, is American Sniper. And it's a movie directed by Clint Eastwood with Bradley Cooper. And we were talking about this before in the pre-show. Clint Eastwood is 84 years old, and he's made two movies this year with Jersey Boys, this big Broadway musical. Didn't do that too well at the box office. And then he's doing American Sniper, all in 1 year. And I was just like, how is this guy doing two vastly different movies at 84?
I just can't see him being super involved with both. I don't know.
It's crazy. And the number 10, I'm going to say number 10 because, and people might think I'm crazy with this, but came out a while ago. And I just, he can be a favorite. Grand Budapest Hotel, Wes Anderson movie.
What's it called?
No, the Grand Budapest Hotel. That's what I'm saying.
Number 10. Okay, gotcha. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's my number 10 right now.
I would, I love Wes Anderson through and through. I think of all the people I've bought into, all of his stuff, all of his style, all of his, in his own head, in his own, but I don't think that guy's going to get an Oscar. I don't think he's going to get a nomination. I think that movie was one of his finest films. He has influenced so much at this point, and he has borrowed enough to just be considered a main staple as far as American cinema is concerned. So I would love for him to be in there.
Yeah, see, I think the one that's going to win this year, we haven't seen yet.
Exactly.
We haven't seen. Some people haven't. I think Imitation Game's going to be up there.
That's what I think, too.
Just from what I'm hearing, and Benedict Cumberbatch to say is, phenomenal in it. Mm. What I think correlation is going to happen is, look at the best screenplay ones. And that was my thing where I knew why I think didn't think Gravity was going to win, because Gravity wasn't nominated for Best Original Screenplay or anything like that. I was like, that's going to take it away, because it's about story. And if you're not nominated to me for Best Screenplay, you probably shouldn't win for Best Picture. That's right, me. Right. I think Best Screenplay to me is more important than Best Director.
That's a good point.
Because the guy who did the 12 Years a Slave script, he won for Best Adapted Screenplay, and then it won for Best Picture.
Yeah.
And those are the only two awards, the two major awards it won that year. But Gravity swept everything behind that, with visual effects and cinematography, and I think even all of sound and editing.
It was crazy.
It swept, but it didn't win Best Picture because it was not nominated for any screenplay stuff or even won.
Yeah.
So I think that's the big one to look at, is who's getting the nominations for that and who's winning.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
So yeah, anything else you want to say? I know we've gone through a lot of stuff about Oscars this year and about movies in general.
I think that that's an interesting point you made there at the end, and I think that we're moving away. We still have this idea of a director as the artist,
mm-hmm.
as the auteur, but people are now more than ever so inundated with story, and they know when they see a good story.
Yes.
And so I think that that's probably why we're having best directors and best pictures being different, is because people are we have these great personalities that are these auteurs, but people know what's a good story.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing, because we're talking about Caron, he deserved best director for Gravity. I think he did some things that were impossible at the point before Gravity. He did groundbreaking things, but that does not take away from Steve McQueen's work in 12 Years a Slave at all. It just wasn't that big visual effects heavy.
Yeah.
But Steve McQueen told a very, very great story. And the writer, whose sadly name, John Ridley, that's who it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's the big thing to look for, is best screenplay. It doesn't have to win best screenplay. It has to get a nomination.
Mm-hmm.
And when 12 Years a Slave took best step in screenplay, I knew 12 Years was winning hands down, because story was the most important. I'm judging it more of how I would vote, and I'm not voting.
Yeah, right.
I have no say in the matter, and I don't know if I ever will. I hope I do one day. but that's what I'm going to vote for. But yeah, any last words before we go? William Mason?
Go see Birdman.
Go see Birdman. Go see movies. That's the main thing. Go see movies. Tell us what you think. My Twitter handle is at @BCS_thefilmkid. It's a long thing.
Sorry.
Do you want to say yours, Mason?
Mine is William, at WilliamMason98.
Send us your feedback. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you think of who's going to possibly win this year, get nominated. Tell us what movies you're seeing. Get your thoughts on everything. So thank you guys for tuning in to CineNation. It's a podcast brought to you by The Media Machine. We hope you listen for later podcasts as well.